You've been listening in on my study or something, I think. Take your Bible, will please, 1 Kings chapter 19. We've been working out of this for several weeks now. Haven't gotten real far. We were talking about there's hope, the cure for depression. We talked about causes of depression, fear and bitterness and carrying the weight of the whole world on your hand, on your own weight, on your own shoulders. Being upset with God, feel like, you know, because of, you know, what life has dealt, and I know it can be hard. I'm not making light of all those things, but the fact is, there is an answer to this. It doesn't mean you're going to fix all those problems. We live in an old world, sin cursed world. There's going to be problems in this world. Ye shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer. Jesus said, "I have overcome the world," and he that overcometh. You know, how do you overcome? He that believeth. He overcomes by his faith in Christ. And so Christ is the one who's the overcomer. We overcome and we put our faith in him to do the overcoming. And it can do that. So I'm going to be reading here out of 1 Kings chapter 19. And, of course, you remember that Elijah, we're not going to go through all this. Elijah has had this big showdown at Mount Carmel. He has proven the prophets of Baal to be false, and he had the fire came down and consumed his sacrifice, and of course they tried to call fire down from heaven from their false god, and nothing happened. Then the people of Israel said, "The Lord, he is the God," and they got rid of all the prophets of Baal. They had them killed, and they got rid of them. And of course Ahab, the king, was there, and he saw all that, and so he goes home, and he tattles on Elijah to his wife Jezebel, who was really running the show, and she says, "Well, I'll get you," and so she decides she's going to go after him, and so he decides he's going to head out of town, and he leaves his servant there at Beersheba, which is the well of the oath, and goes right past the promises of God, right past the promise of God, right into the wilderness. And by the way, that's what we do. We walk right past the promises. How many times we get in a bad we get in a bad sort? We get depressed. Things happen. The last thing we want to do is read the Bible. Walk right past the promises of God. Last thing we want to do is come to church. Walk right past the promises of God being preached. And I know you go to some churches, you're not hearing the promises of God. But there are some churches, and I hope this is one of them, where you're going to hear the Word of God. And then so you go and hear the Word of God. Go and be with the people of God and be encouraged, those who have seen the promises being fulfilled. And so don't walk away from them, but that's what he did. And he's out in the wilderness. And verse number 4, he said, "But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness." This is 1 Kings 19, verse 4. "When a day's wilderness came, sat down under a juniper tree, requested for himself that he might die. And said, 'It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I'm no better than my father's.'" What kind of life is this? I don't want to live. Verse 5. "And as he lay and slept under the juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, 'Arise and eat.'" And of course, he gave him something to eat, and he lays back down and gets a little bit more rest. Verse 7. "An angel of the Lord came again, second time, touched him and said, 'Arise, eat, watch, because the journey is too great for thee.' And he arose and did eat, drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God." Now, so Elijah finally gets up out of his funk there, and he goes to the mount of God, Horeb. That's where, that's basically Mount Sinai, where Moses got the Ten Commandments. We talked about it last time. There's several places, several things that Mount Horeb actually represents for us. It's a place where he went back to the Word of God. He went down to the promises of God. He went back to the place where he feared God and went back to obeying God. All those things happened at Mount Horeb and other places in the Bible. And so they needed to do that. And so he did that. And so then he goes to see God, and God's going to show himself to him. And he says in verse 11, "And he said," this is the Lord, "'Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. and after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it, heard what? The still small voice, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out. Now, when he wrapped his face in the mantle, he was basically saying, I have no right to see God. I shouldn't look at God and live. And so he realized that's God. He saw the wind tear the mountain apart. He felt the earthquake. He saw the consuming fire basically burn half the mountain. But then he heard the voice of God in a still small voice. That's when he knew that God was speaking. And he said, he stood in the entering of the cave, and behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? And we're going to stop right there. I want to have a word of prayer, and I want to speak on this topic. We were talking about a cure of depression, and today I want to talk about seeking God. Now, you need to listen to this today, because an awful lot of this, it sounds easy, sounds straightforward, and it is. But a lot of us are not seeking God. We think we're seeking God, but we're not. And if we're not seeking God, we're not going to find him. So let's pray, and we'll have our message. Father, again, we thank you for your word. I thank you for the truths. And Lord, I pray that I know I'm kind of rushing here a little bit this morning because we're going to do communion before we're done. But Lord, I don't want to move past this so they don't get this. This is a very important aspect of our walk with God, overcoming the depression and the hurts of this world. So Lord, I pray you'll give your Holy Spirit to each one of us, and pray that you'll speak through us. And we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Now I understand I've kind of seemed to stretch this study out a little bit, but I don't want to make the process overwhelming, and I don't want to make this process of overcoming depression sound complicated and confusing. My aim is to focus on the aspects of walking with God strong enough that we truly understand the process and the purpose of it. I'm also trying to present things in such a way that somewhere along the way you see yourself, because in somewhere along the way we are in this. Moses had an issue, Jonah had an issue, Elijah had an issue, all God's children got issues. And there were differences, and yet there's some basic similarities. Basically, depression, being cast down, as that says up there, depression comes down to whether you truly believe and trust God or not. If God is for us, who can be against us? If the Lord is my helper, what do I have to fear? What do I have to worry about? What do I have to be bitter about if God is my helper? The problem with many of us is that we have either forgotten what God really is and looks like, or we've never had a good understanding and knowledge of God in the first place. We're naturally fearful of the unknown. And many folks are scared of tomorrow because they don't know what tomorrow holds. However, as the old cliche is, we can know the one who holds tomorrow. Well, we know that one who holds tomorrow loves us and cares for us and has the power to do whatever we need and is for us, then why should I worry what tomorrow holds? But how do you get a mindset like that? Proverbs 9:10 says this, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." If I truly get a glimpse of knowing God, I would respect and even fear who he is and all he can do and all the authority he has in the universe. And once I have a certain level of reverential fear of God and respect and awe, then I'll have enough foresight to have the perspective on life to have wisdom. I'll start seeing things the way God sees it. If I really understand what in the world is going on, if I understand God, I need the knowledge of the holy, and then I will begin to truly understand life. Now, there's a few things we need to tend to, both spiritual and physical. And we've talked about that. I'm not going to spend a lot of time. Take care of yourself physically. There are some physical things you need to tend to. Take care of yourself spiritually. Eat right. Eat right physically. you don't eat right physically, it's going to be a problem. Eat right spiritually. What are you feeding your soul? You need to rest. Not only do we need physical rest, but we need spiritual rest. Will you rest in Him? Rest in Him. Make good use of the Sabbath. We get a Sabbath day. Take care of it. Use it. Last week, though, we talked about a third thing. We need to get a good look at God again. Part of God's cure for depression for Elijah was for him to truly see the Lord for who He was. Now, He can move the mountains. He can make the earthquake. He is a consuming fire. And all those things are true. God did all those things. But if you really want to know God, don't go looking for the manifestations, all these miraculous things necessary. Look for that still, small voice. Well, He did all those things. But what we want to know is Him. Many of us need to be reminded of who God is and all that He can do and will do when we place our trust in Him and His Word. We need to live by His commands and trust in His promises. The whole duty of man is to fear God and keep His commandments. The second thing we found out is that we need to, you notice what Elijah did, he said he got up and he went to Mount Horeb. We need to go and find Him. Now, I'm still reviewing here. We'll get to the new stuff here in a minute. But if you want to find God, you've got to go find Him. So, well, isn't He everywhere? Oh, He is. And He's waiting for us. Many people go to the world expecting God to show up. Let me say that again. A lot of people go to the world and all that the world offers and expect God to show up. They will go to just about anywhere, anyone, except to the one that has the answer, the Lord Almighty. Many people think they can go live in the world and not seek the Lord and still expect God to come looking for them. And if He doesn't, and if He doesn't, it must mean that either God doesn't exist or God doesn't care. Well, I can just go out and live like that. He didn't come looking for me, so I guess He didn't want me. Oh, sure He does. Absolutely He does. Some folks even get angry at God if He leaves them in the wilderness without coming to get them and dragging them back. You all know the story of the prodigal son. You know, the father had two sons, and he was well off, and the younger son came to him and says, "Give me all my inheritance." And so he divided the inheritance. Well, once he got his pocket full, it started burning a hole in his pocket, and he decided he was going to go off to the world and went off to the far country. And he wasted his money. He had a lot of friends as long as he had money. But he blew it, and then he didn't have any money. And he had nothing. He had no place to eat, no place to sleep, nothing. So what's he doing? He gets a job feeding pigs. But for a good little Jewish boy, that's not a real good thing. He had to stoop to something that he would have never dreamed he would be doing. Say it that way. He's feeding pigs. Not only was he feeding the pigs, but he was eating with them. I want you to see something here. We get mad at God because we're afraid. Why didn't He come to me? Why didn't He come to me? Do you realize that father did not stop that son from leaving? The father did not go after him. The father did not let him, well, get a good taste of the world, and then, well, I'll go find him now because he's probably fed up by now. I'll go get him now. He didn't do that. The father waited for the son to come to his senses, change his mind, repent, and return on his own, convert his ways. He waited for the son to confess and forsake his sin, and then he was glad to receive him in mercy. Glad to. The father was waiting to accept him back, but the decision had to be the son's to seek the father. Listen, God's not the one who wandered off. It is our sin that separates us from God. And so if it's our sin that separates us from God, then we're the one that has to come with him with our sin, confessing and forsaking our sin. Now, he's willing to pay for it, justify us, get us into heaven, but we have to come to him and confess our sin. Listen, Elijah made the effort to go where he would find God. And like I said before, if maybe you're saved and you feel like you're away from God and you just feel like he's not around, well, go back to where he was found before. You know, singing a little song like we just sang, everybody ought to know. Now, I didn't. If I had, If I had the choice for the arrangement, I had a different arrangement, though they chose that down there. Because everybody ought to know, everybody ought to know, everybody ought to know, everybody ought to know. Different harmony. Everybody ought to know, everybody ought to know who Jesus is, who Jesus. That's the way I learned it. And he said, nice little song. Yeah, he's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. Everybody, and he should. You know, we say these nice little songs. But isn't that nice? You know what the problem is? We don't know him anymore. Remember those friends you had in high school? You were just like this. And when you graduated, remember graduation night? I'm talking about the girls, not the guys. You know, guys. But the girls, y'all, we'll be friends forever. Well, we really will. And now you haven't seen them for 15 years. You go to the high school reunion, you don't even recognize them. The last high school reunion I went into, I couldn't believe it. It looked like it was the parents of all the people I went to school with. They just haven't weathered well, like the rest of us. And I couldn't see any of my gray hair at the time. But anyway, we think we know them, but we haven't been with them, so we don't know them anymore. And the same thing goes with God. If you don't walk with him on a regular basis, you're not spending time with him on a regular basis, you're not going to know him like you used to know him. And we've forgotten. Before long, the whole idea starts to fade. You think, well, I wonder if he even cares anymore. Well, I guarantee you he cares. I guarantee you he cares. But many people are depressed because they don't have the hand of God's blessing on their lives, and they don't have the hand of God's blessing because they're running from the statutes and running from God rather than running to God. Now, first thing I want you to see here this morning that's new. I want to emphasize, I want to put a laser beam on this morning. The 3 points I have are not new. The problem is we miss it. Number one, seek God and you'll find him. Seek God and you'll find him. Seek God and you will find him. Now, some of you say, well, I have been, but I haven't seen anything of him. Well, we'll get there. The principle is, the Lord said, seek God and you'll find him. God promises he can be found. He promises. Take your Bible, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4. You can move away from Kings if you want. Deuteronomy, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, verse 4, chapter 4, verse 25. God's giving. Deuteronomy is really the second hearing of the law, second giving of the law there. And he's going to say exactly where America is, and by the way, a lot of our hearts are. We've been here for a while, and everything's good, fine. We've been raising kids, and this is the way we've been doing it for years and years and years. Look at verse 25. When thou shalt beget children, and children's children, and ye shall have remained long in the land, and shall corrupt yourselves, and make a graven image with the likeness of anything, and shall do evil in the sight of the Lord thy God, to provoke him to anger, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day, that ye shall soon utterly perish from off the land, whereunto ye go over to Jordan to possess it. Ye shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall utterly be destroyed. Well, you know what I'm saying? We're going to lose what we have. We lose what we have, and we're not walking with him. Verse 27. And the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and ye shall be left few in number among the heathen, whither the Lord shall lead you. Elijah said, hey, I'm the only one in town that's doing this. Well, you're not really, but you're going to feel that way. And there ye shall serve gods in the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. Let me say this. When you turn your back on the Lord, there's some stupid things that we do. I mean, think about how stupid it is to pretend something that we formed and we made an idol. It can't hear, it can't see, it can't talk, can't do anything. That's like the little kid that when mama brought the new baby home. Well, he doesn't do anything, you know. Well, they're worshiping a God that doesn't do anything. Now, how stupid is that? But I'll tell you, when we walk away from God, you will be surprised the stupid things that we will do, the things that we will believe, like we rose up out of dirt, like we evolved from dirt. Amazing the things that we'll believe when we don't want to believe God. What it says here, verse 29, but from wherever you are out there that you run away from God to, if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. Now there's a promise. That's what the Lord said. If all the crazy things you've done, I've walked away from, you're serving God, doing stupid things. But he says, when that happens, from wherever you are, listen to me this morning, from wherever you are in life, from wherever you are, where no matter what's going on in your life, from wherever you are, from thence, if thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. But watch, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. When thou art in tribulation, when times are bad, your hearts are discouraged and depressed, and in times of tribulation and all these things are come upon thee, when things have just piled up and you just feel like you can't take it anymore, even in the latter days when, I mean, that's where we are right now. You watch news, oh my soul. You know, just think, what in the world is going to happen today? Even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God, and shalt be obedient unto his voice. You can't say you're seeking God if you're not obeying him. For the Lord thy God is merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them. Now what is in there to be depressed about? There's nothing to be depressed about. God's our answer. He says, I'll be there. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken to you, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. But you know what he said? Go and pray. Well, he said, go get someplace. Go alone with him. Go find him and seek his face. Pray to him. Now, hang on. I'm going to explain this to you. Many people sit and sulk and get depressed instead of seeking the Lord with all their heart. Well, I'm not sure it's going to work. I'm not sure. Listen, if the Lord, watch me now. Now watch me. I'm going to say something here. It's going to seem harsh, but I'm trying to help you here. This is not a discouragement. It's an encouragement. If the Lord promises that he can be found and you're not finding him, then is God a liar? Or are we not seeking him correctly? Stop blaming God for your failure to seek for him with all your heart. Stop calling the Lord a liar. We can't say we fear God when we're calling him a liar. Watch me. Are you seeking God in the dark or in the light? The Bible says in the world is darkness. In him is no darkness at all. Some people are trying to seek God, but they're out in the world, out in the darkness, trying to find God. That's like trying to find a cow in the middle of New York City. You know what I'm saying? Trying to find a subway in the middle of Dover. We're looking in the wrong place. We're fishing in the wrong hole. Are we seeking God in the dark or are we seeking him in the light? Watch this. Are we seeking the Lord in our own understanding or are we seeking him in truth? Well, I tell you, the God that I serve would do thus. Oh, wait a minute. You're back to that one that doesn't see and or hear and speak and talk. And this is the God, Jehovah. The Lord, he is the God. Jehovah, he is the God. Are you seeking God? Are you seeking him in truth or your own understanding? Listen, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding and all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. Are you seeking God? Watch. Or are you seeking a way out of your trouble? Some people say, I'm seeking God. No, you want to get out of your troubles. Some of you want to take your life, and it's like a country song played backwards. You get your dog back, you get your girl back, you get your pickup truck back, you know. That's what we want. You're seeking to get all those things back. But what we need to do is be seeking God. Now, you may get those things back in the process. You may not. You might get something better. But are we seeking God, or are we trying to seek to get out of our trouble? Are we seeking God, or are we seeking blessings? Well, I heard if you go to church, you know, God will give you some money. I was like the little kid that came back from Sunday school, and he had all this cash in his hand. And the father said, "Where in the world did you get that?" "I don't know. They passed this plate. They were giving it away." Some people go to church looking for that kind of stuff. Are we seeking God with all our hearts? All right, seeking God. Number two, I know you know this, but you've got to dwell on these thoughts because these are the foundations. Don't just slide over them. God cannot lie. God cannot lie. If the Lord, who cannot lie, promised we will find him if we seek him with all our heart, and we're not finding him, then apparently we're not seeking him with all our heart. Titus 1:2, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Don't blame God for your plight. It is of the Lord's mercy that we are even still alive. You may think the Lord's against you. But if the Lord was against you, you would be already dead and in hell. Let me say that again. If the Lord was really against you, you'd already be dead and in hell. If you're saved, you'd be dead and in heaven. But if he was against you, he wouldn't send you to heaven, would he? He's for you. The Lord gives you mercy every morning. I want you to look at Lamentations. Jeremiah, Lamentations. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. Lamentations chapter 3. Not a big book. Old Testament. Kind of in the middle of the major prophets there. Lamentations 3, verse number 1. Now I'm going to read this first part. You're going to say, man, God just won't give this poor guy a break. And then sometimes that's how we feel. Lamentations 3, verse number 1. He says, I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me he is turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. He hath builded against me and compassed me with gall and travail. He hath set me in dark places as they that be dead of old. He hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. Also when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. It's like he's not listening to me. He hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone. He hath made my paths crooked. I feel like I got a wall around me. I can't move. He was unto me a bear lying in wait, as a lion in secret places. He hath turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He hath made me desolate. He hath bent his bow and set me as a mark for the arrows. You know, it's like I got a target on my back. God's got a target on my back. He hath caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins, right into my heart. I was a derision to all my people in their song all the day. He hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. He hath also broken my teeth in gravel with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes. And thou hast reproved my soul far off from peace. I forget prosperity. He says, you know what? I don't even remember what prosperity is. I don't remember what it means to be getting ahead, to getting anything accomplished. And I said, my strength and my hope has perished from the Lord. Remembering my affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. Watch, he said, I said, my hope and strength has perished, remembering mine affliction and my misery. When I look at all that mess, I just feel like, well, I don't have any hope anymore. But wait a minute. Verse 20. My soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall, though, to my mind. Therefore have I hope. Watch. Why do I have hope? It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. Why am I still here? Why am I still here? God's got a plan for you. He's got something. Well, I don't like parts of this. I don't understand. Job didn't like parts of it, I'm sure. Jesus didn't like parts of it, I'm sure. But he has a plan. He's got something he's doing. And God's mercy says, I'm not consumed. Why? Because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. Watch. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. I don't know what's going on, but I'm going to wait. I don't see it. I don't see an answer coming, but the Lord has promised. I'm going to wait. I'm going to keep doing what I'm supposed to do. If the Lord promises that he will let you find him if you seek him with all your heart, and you have not been able to find him, then what does that mean? You're not yet seeking him with all your heart. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Oh, but I have been. Apparently not. I'm not trying to be mean. Or God's a liar. If you think God's a liar, then you don't fear God. And how dare you call God a liar? Obviously, we do not fear God, which is part of the duty of man. You truly do not believe God, who he is, if we say that he's not going to answer our prayer. We say, well, I prayed, and it didn't happen, so I stopped. And, you know, hang on with me with this. You know why you didn't get your answer? Because God knew you were going to stop. Now watch me. If God really keeps his promises, and if we seek him, we shall find him when we seek with all our heart, then to stop seeking him means you no longer believe him. If you no longer believe him, then you're no longer seeking him with all your heart. You were seeking him as long as you saw some evidence that'll keep you going. You're looking for the wind to come along and break something up. You're looking for the earthquake to shake your life up. You're looking for some fire to come along and change everything. Well, if God's given his word, he's given his word. He didn't need all that. He's a still small voice that wants to answer your prayer. So number three, look unto Jesus. Seek the Lord with all your heart. Watch me. Now hang on with me. I'm not asking if you're seeking a church. Now, I think that's a good thing to find is a good church. But some people are looking for a family. I've seen people, they come to church because they're looking for somebody to help pay their bills if they get stuck. Some people come to church looking for friendship, and there's nothing wrong with looking for friendship. And when I open up the Word of God, I'm hoping you're seeing more of God. But the point is, we go to church to find God. That's the problem with a lot of our society right now, because stop showing people God in church. They're showing the ritual and da-da-da-da-da and all this kind of hoopla. And then see who has the prettiest ooh baby sisters and the hottest boogie boys playing the band. You can go from that extreme to the extreme where we've got everything all ritualized out and we've got all the beautiful things there and we're all looking at all the fixtures and the facilities and we're still not having found God. He's in the still small voice. Listen, I'm not asking you if you're seeking a place to serve God or ways to serve God. Now, I think it's good for you to serve God. But I've known people who have served God for years in their life, and then their life goes to pot, and they wonder why. Because they were serving men, but they didn't know God. Nothing wrong with serving men. If you know God, you're going to want to serve men. You know what I'm saying? It's the same type of thing. So listen, all squares are rectangles, but not all rectangles are squares. You know what I'm saying? If you truly know God, there's all these things you're going to want to go to church. You're going to want to serve. You're going to really want to do those things. But doing those things doesn't mean you know God. I'm not asking if you are seeking less sinful friends. I think you should keep your you should walk with the right people. Companion of fools shall be destroyed. I believe that. But some people are just looking for friends. No, look for God. I'm not asking if you're seeking some kind of a static feeling, tingles and chills and thrills. I bet Elijah had some chills and thrills when the wind came along and busted the mountain to pieces, and it turned around, the whole earth shook, and then a fire came along and burned half the side of the mountain. He had some chills and thrills there. And God can do all that and did all that. But what he wanted was a still small voice. I'm not asking if you're seeking some miraculous event in your life. All those things may be occurring, but my question is whether you're seeking God. And if you're seeking God, are you seeking him in your heart above all things? Are you looking for some kind of great manifestation of God? What we need is to have ears to hear. I've told you before, around here, everybody has two, it seems like everybody has two doorbells. One that goes ding-dong, one goes rah, 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 rah. And all they got these dogs. And you folks who have dogs, you know, you're sitting in the living room, and all of a sudden, the little pup goes, and his ears go. And you say, well, somebody's on the porch. Something's going around. He's hearing somebody. Because he's got ears to hear. And that's what that phrase means. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. Ears that are perked or aimed for hearing. If you want to hear God's still small voice, you'll hear it. But let me say this. Some folks are so busy looking for the wind. They're so busy looking for something to shake their world. The earthquake. They're so busy looking for something's going to wipe out everything else so we have nothing at all except him. That they haven't heard the still small voice of God. Sometimes we're so busy doing all kinds of things we can't hear the still small voice of God. If we want to hear the still small voice, we're going to have to listen for it. Listen, anybody can get your attention with the wind that breaks a mountain. God's going to get everybody's attention with an earthquake. There was a third one up here in Berks County over the weekend. Been three or something like that last week. When there's a wildfire in California, everybody, you're not going to miss the wildfire. Anybody can hear that. Anybody can see that, can sense that. You want to know whether you're seeking God with all your heart? You're not waiting for all those things to show up. In fact, they become a distraction. You get alone with God himself. You get the word of God out. And you listen to him
find that still, small voice. And when you can hear him in that still, small voice, then no matter where you are, in whatever your circumstances are, there's a God who loves you, who cares for you, who would not leave you nor forsake you. So go where the voice of God is speaking. Many people complain that the Lord never reveals anything to them, but they're hardly ever, if ever, gotten on their knees in humble contrition and bowed their heart, surrendered their will before God, and opened up the Word of God, and then gotten up and obeyed the Word of God with all their being. Let me say that again. People complain the Lord never reveals anything to them, but they have hardly ever, if ever at all, gotten on their knees in humble contrition, bowed their heart, and surrendered their will before God, and then opened the Word of God, and then gotten up and obeyed the Word of God with all their being. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Seek Him, but are you seeking Him? Seek Him, but are you seeking Him with all your heart? Father, thank you for your word, for speaking to us here this morning.